League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Blocked the shot, sent Gretzky in, 3-0, Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it, DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Stanley Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. We're at the Superstore, the refurbished showroom. Looks great up here. Unbelievable job. Again, congratulations to the Low Payment King for the new look up here at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. My name is Mike Miller. Jim Cushlin's back at the studios tonight. Jim filled in yesterday. I was in Canada that time of the year preparing for the 2017-18 hockey campaign. Jim, I'm sure, did a wonderful job. I have some things written down here that I wanted to touch on. Number one, the Lions win over the weekend, 35-23 over Arizona. I don't know if I have ever seen a worse start in the history of a football team to open a season and still win the game. Believe me, you do not get away with this kind of stuff on a week-to-week basis in the National Football League. A lot of times I talk about teams making errors in baseball, walks, things that kill you at the major league level. But the Lions start out with a pick six against. Then they get an intentional grounding call. Then a penalty for leaping. This is all like in the first, 5 or 6 minutes of the game. The punter drops the ball in the end zone, tries to run. Arizona gets the ball again deep in Detroit territory. The punter gets hurt. You have your place kicker punting the rest of the day. You have a holder, Jake Rudock, who's never held before. He's holding the rest of the day. Unbelievable. It's just one thing after another, a bunch of flags, and the Lions somehow, some way, only find themselves down 10-0 in this game. But it was a comedy of errors for almost the first quarter for Detroit. Hats off to the Lions defense that hung in there. Kenny Golladay, a big day. Stafford was good as well. Lions somehow win it 35-23 with second half heroics. I will tell you this. They had a tough time running the football. Wait till they see the New York Giants on Monday night. Matthew Stafford better have a good night. After watching that Dallas-New York Giants game, listen, what they called the best offensive line in the National Football League, the Dallas Cowboys, and Zeke Elliott is a running back, and Dallas couldn't run the ball, certainly Detroit. I mean, really, the Lions have talked about this, you know, refurbished offensive line. I know there's guys banged up. Greg Robinson wasn't bad. Lang, Wagner, all the guys they brought in. Really, it was Ameer Abdullah and Riddick at times just running for 3 or 4 yards. Lucky they had Matt Stafford. They couldn't run it against Arizona. They're going to have a tough time running against the Giants. So you better crank up that right cannon of Matt Stafford next Monday night. Just a couple of notes. This thing with the Cleveland Indians is just absolutely unbelievable. I've stopped watching the Tigers. I mean, I tune it in. I like to see the lineup. I'd like to see what Jamer Candelario is doing. And that would be it. You know, 2-3 innings maybe for Detroit. Watch the first at bats. You know, Miles J started last night for the Detroit Tigers. Where'd that first name from? Miles, that's the increments of the Cleveland Indians at the baseball off of him last night. He only gave up 7 earned runs in 3 2/3. Yes, they were hitting it miles off him. Indians roll on, by the way. David Glazier, the first guy that told us about Lindor a couple of years back, will join us tomorrow night. In fact, we were going to have David live from Progressive Field tonight. Afternoon game tomorrow, the Indians and the Tigers. Will talk to David Glazier again coming up tomorrow. But this is remarkable, the Cleveland Indians. And it just goes to show me, I was looking today at the American League standings. This is an Oakland team that's won 5 consecutive games. Oakland's playing hard. Oakland's playing very well. Look at Detroit. This is another reason why you think some of these younger players would be. I know they're going in with a Detroit Mud Hens type of lineup. You know, I see it. Kinsler, he's only hitting .236. Romine played some second. Presley's a 4A player, not quite a major league player, but he's hitting .313. Navarro played some first. They sat Cabrera down after a while. The experiment started with Castellanos, McCann catching, Holiday caught, Collins. Machado played short, but this is a long way back for the Tigers. But looking at Candelario, I tune in now, and I'll tune in tonight to watch this juggernaut of the Cleveland Indians baseball team. They have won 19 consecutive games. They went 11-0 last night. They move closer to numerous records in Major League Baseball. During this run, they've outscored the opponents 132-32. Absolutely unbelievable. 6th team in history to win at least 19 straight games. Moneyball. Watched the movie the other night. Only thing I didn't like about that, they made Art Howe to look like he is a buffoon, which for the players that played for him that year, he was the farthest thing from that, Art Howe. So I took a little umbrage with that. But Oakland won 20 straight in 2002. They just continue to roll on with the likes of Lindor, 4 RBIs last night. Also, Ramirez, what a player this guy is. Second baseman. They were saying last night that Kipnis was taking fly balls in center field before the game. Hats off to him. He hasn't come back and said, you know, listen, I demand to play and play right now. They're playing Diaz, who had 2 hits last night at third base. The only negative I can find about this whole thing with the Indians, 18,000 last night. I just, you didn't hear me incorrectly here. You've won 18 consecutive games, and Cleveland sends 18,520 people on their rear ends to watch this team. Dodgers, St. Louis, San Francisco, Yankees, Toronto, Cubs, Angels, Colorado, Boston, Texas, Washington, the Tigers, Milwaukee, Houston, the Mets, Atlanta, Kansas City, Seattle, San Diego, Arizona, Minnesota, Baltimore, Philadelphia. That's all the teams that are out drawing average attendance this year of the Cleveland Indians with this group. That, to me, is a disgrace. Only Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, the White Sox, Miami, Oakland, and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, bad ballpark. Oakland, bad ballpark. Miami's never drawn. White Sox are awful. Pittsburgh, good ballpark, bad team. Those are the only teams drawing less than the Indians. Very curious tonight with Kluber going. They're going to win their 20th tonight. This would be a major, major upset. But, yeah, come on, Cleveland. 18,000 fans at Progressive Field, maybe to watch one of the best teams in the last decade with a run of 20 consecutive games. Absolutely unbelievable. We'll be watching tonight. The other thing I took out of this Ohio State-Oklahoma game, we're going to ask Tim May this at 5:15 tonight, author, historian, beat writer for the Buckeyes Columbus Dispatch. Ohio State, Dave Briggs documented this. 44 elite class athletes on the Ohio State roster. 6 Oklahoma. Ohio State can't find a wide receiver to get open. Unbelievable. Right around the corner, Tim May, Buckeye Football. The show driven by a low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, home of the Lions who won, home of the Michigan Wolverines over on 98.3 Nash Icon, your leader for sports in Toledo. Jim Cushlin back at the studios tonight. We're going to talk Michigan football about 5:35 tonight. Of course, the Wolverines with their win over Cincinnati. Luke Fickell, of course, the head coach down there. Cincinnati gave him a battle about 50 miles north of here, about 130 miles down to the south is Columbus, where the Oklahoma Sooners came in, and they gave it to the Ohio State Buckeyes and gave it to them pretty good, 31-16. Author, historian, beat writer, Columbus Dispatch joins us now on the Vito's Pizza phone line, Mr. Tim May. Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks thanks for taking the time, and thanks for the switch in the lineup, by the way. We were supposed to have a live report from Progressive Field in Cleveland, and a technical glitch got in the way of that, so I appreciate you changing things up for our listeners. We originally were going to have Tim on at 5:35. Your take on the game on Saturday, Oklahoma came in, and Ohio State, the thing you and I have talked about before, all the Ohio State fans are talking about, failure to get the passing game going. Tell me a little bit about that.
Did you ever see the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, but I know the title. I haven't seen it, but I get where you're going.
Well, they're sitting in the movie theater, and the guys is telling them, don't seek the treasure. It's an ambush. It's a bushwhack. And they got bushwhacked in its own building. I mean, Baker Mayfield was in the clutch, was magnificent, and I say in the clutch because, you know, most people remember that game and they're thinking Ohio State just got drilled for 60 minutes. You know, I will say this, Oklahoma did dominate the ball, but they didn't dominate the scoreboard until the last, 18, 20 minutes, and that's when Baker Mayfield really got it going. But bottom line is, you know, I was giving Ohio State the benefit of the doubt, as you well know, going into that game, and that the receivers had stepped up, the passing game had stepped up compared to a year ago, even though it was pretty much the same guys, that the pass protection had gotten better from one player in particular, when now we know three out of the four of those are not accurate. So it's hard to judge JT Barrett, although JT Barrett is the one facing the hanging judge right now. Everyone else seems to be skating.
Tell me a little bit about JT Barrett. Listen, I thought two times anyways. Tim May joins us, Columbus Dispatch, longtime beat writer talking Ohio State football here. A couple of times I thought he had chances to run the ball, one time to score, another time to pick up a substantial gain. And listen, I know it's like the CIA down there when it comes to things, but if anybody knows anything, it would be you. Is there an injury problem there with JT Barrett?
Not that we're aware of. You know, he is running extremely cautiously from the standpoint of not putting himself in harm's way and going down most of the time well before contact. So, you know, he hasn't fessed up to anything being wrong with him. I think the bottom line is, you know, he's been told over and over, you know, we don't want you to get hurt. You know, go run when you can, run when it's good, but, you know, protect yourself. And so, you know, he kind of does what he's told. That's one of the things about JT Barrett. So, you know, when you start, people start laying blame and laying bricks on this situation, you know, it's, there's a lot of mirrors for people to be looking in down here. And, you know, his situation is interesting because he's not Baker Mayfield. He's not going to run around most of the time and then zip a ball 50 yards down the field to a receiver. That's not his game. His game, when he came along and everybody, basically fell in love with him, for want of another word, when he took Braxton Miller's spot back in 2014 when Braxton got hurt. You know, we ordained him, nicknamed him, what do you want to call it, the great distributor, because he distributed the ball and was really good at it, ran when he had to, ran when it was needed, but he distributed the ball. And, you know, the problem right now is, from the distribution standpoint, the trucks aren't backing up to the loading dock like they were back in 2014. I mean, that's, you know, I'm running out of analogies here, but you catch my drift.
I do catch your drift, and here's another one. You know, I was looking at the rosters of both Ohio State, Tim May, and Oklahoma, and, you know, you have the folks that rate players and recruits, and you start putting stars behind people's names and so on and so forth. Ohio State in that, listen, not a very important category now with the Buckeyes getting beat 31-16, but they have some athletes down there, probably in a 5-1 ratio, whoever rates these players when it comes to elite guys. I think the thing that got me more than anything else, and I'm not laying the blame on JT Barrett either, but it surprises me still, with all the stallions and thoroughbreds hanging around that campus down there, nobody can get open, it seems like to me, as wide receivers and guys coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's the problem. I mean, that's the problem. That was their problem last year. It hamstrung them and, against the better defenses. And I'm telling you, Oklahoma's defense has gotten better compared to a year ago. One thing, they went to the 3-4 instead of the 4-3, and that, you know, it changed some things up a little bit, but they really had players in right spots. But then when you let their best defensive player, that number 31, Okoronkwo, come clean on a run play, not even touching him off the edge, Isaiah Prince and Marcus Ball, right when Ohio State had a chance to really take control of that game there in the third quarter, they'd already driven to a touchdown and to a field goal, and they had the ball, you know, almost midfield, and he comes off and stops J.K. Dobbins in the backfield for no gain off the edge when J.K. Dobbins intended to run up the middle. I mean, that, you know, the problems on this offense are, like I said, are a lot like they were this time a year ago. You just thought they might have gotten fixed a little bit better than they have.
Again, talking to Tim May and the Vito's Pizza phone line. This show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, coming to you from this beautiful looking showroom up in Monroe. Hey, Tim, before I let you go, let's talk big picture here. And I think that's the question everybody's asking and the things people are talking about. Here you are, game two, you're 1-1. You're 1-0 in the Big Ten. Say, from a very optimistic standpoint, which can happen, no doubt about it, the Buckeyes would run the table the rest of the way. Still, in your eyes, a legitimate contender for the postseason and the bowl championships.
Yeah, I think they would be, because that means they're better. That means they'll be better than they are right now. And if you improve, get better, if you find some guys, I mean, you know, I was asking Urban Meyer on Monday, you know, in a haphazard way, because you kind of want to get an answer to a question about, you know, just evaluating the wide receiver play. When do you move on, you know, from having two of your upperclassmen wide receivers each drop and or not even touch a perfectly thrown post cut the first 2 weeks of the year? When do you move on to some younger guys, you know, and give them more shots? And he said, hey, they're always evaluating, blah, 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 you know. But the bottom line is, I was asking him the same thing last year near the end of the year, is when do the young guys get a shot, you know, when the other guy. And so if they do bounce back, if they do, in fact, get better in the passing game, that's where they have to improve. J.K. Dobbins, barring injury, is going to be a star. You could see that just by the way he runs, by the way he conducts himself, how proficient he is already in blitz pickup and things like that. Mike Weber, we know, is a 1,000-yard back. They're pretty well set at the running back spot. At quarterback, they have a quarterback who can run when he needs to, maybe sometimes runs more than he needs to, but he is adept at that, and he is adept at distributing the ball when people are open. And, yeah, he missed some passes on Saturday night, but there were also many times when guys didn't help him out very much at all. But, you know, you saw Austin Mack go up and get a ball. Too bad he got a concussion at the end of that game, at the end of that play. But, you know, you just when you saw a star maybe starting to emerge at wide receiver, he had to be carried off. So, you know, if they get their act together, yeah, they can be in it. But, you know, that's a long road, man. I mean, road trips to Iowa and Nebraska. road trip to Michigan at the end of it all, a home game with Penn State, a home game with Michigan State. You go have it by Michigan State, but Michigan State always plays these guys tough. That's a log. If they get through that gauntlet and they get better, yeah, they got a shot at it.
Hey, Tim, one quick one. I'll let you go. Were you surprised at all that Luke Fickell went up there and made the Cincinnati Bearcats so, I mean, I'm not surprised, but did a pretty good job with Cincinnati and hung in there a long time against Michigan?
Well, as you well know, you watched the game, I'm sure. Those pick sixes, those defensive touchdowns killed them because they were in the game other than that. And that was even with a quarterback that was struggling to have time. And then with receivers who couldn't catch the ball most of the time. So, I mean, that was an interesting effort and, probably not, don't get the credit they deserve. And I don't know if you deserve credit for throwing pick sixes and things like that, but, giving up an easy touchdown. But yeah, I mean, you know, they played very hard, but you know, those turnovers, those defensive turnovers for touchdowns usually kill you.
Tim, good stuff. Next time you're traveling through Toledo, keep this in mind. Lunch is on Drive Time here on ESPN. I'd love to sit down with you someday and one of your travels up north. So let us know. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again.
I'm usually traveling incognito and stealthy, but I may give it a shot, Mike.
I like it. Good stuff. Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, author, historian. Kicks a field goal in every stadium he covers a game in. Good guy, knowledgeable. Buckeyes, not so good against Oklahoma. Real eye-opening situation. Dave Briggs touched on this, too, and I was looking at it during the game, not to take a great number away from Briggsy, but I'm looking at, you know, the ratings of the players. And these. Listen, Oklahoma is a huge powerhouse, a big football school. And you started looking at, you know, and who knows who, I mean, listen, it's like a draft, and I've been to enough National Hockey League drafts. Just because a guy is rated high and drafted high doesn't always necessarily mean that he's going to work out to be a great player. But the guys out of high school that Ohio State have on that sideline that were highly rated high school players compared to Oklahoma, it was about 5-1. I'm sitting there thinking, you can't get anybody open downfield. And you look at you know, Oklahoma, some of the guys that they had just, you know, I don't think they're great, you know, National Football League prospects. Look at their quarterback. You know what he is? He's a good football player. So a lot of times those stars, I get it. It's a good indication, but does that necessarily mean that they're good on Saturdays in that great college atmosphere? So anyways, Tim May joined us. TASS Electronics update coming. By the way, if you're out and about right now, North Dixie Highway in Perrysburg, till 6 o'clock, they're still collecting items to fill up a truck donated, by the way, by Bold Express to take to Texas for the hurricane victims. Again, if you're out and about, that's Walt Churchill's Market up on North Dixie Highway. Also, ESPN 106.5, the ticket is ready to put 1,004 times a day in your hand with the 4K a day. Listen, weekdays 9 a.m. To noon and 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. for the keyword. Text that keyword to 62582 for a chance to win 1,004 times a day in the 4K a day. All right, everybody. My name's Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. TASS Electronics update after the
show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Special thanks to Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, author as well. Talk some Ohio State football. Just a couple of notes. Thursday, we'll be in the University of Toledo campus. Tulsa comes into the Glass Bowl on the weekend. We'll be talking to Bruce Howard, the play-by-play man, Thursday of the Tulsa team. Again, we'll be coming to you from the University of Toledo bookstore. That is on Thursday. Then Friday, we're out at Reset again in Perrysburg. Couple of quick notes. Saturday the 16th, rally on the River Raisin. Raffle coming up. Of course, the low payment king involved there, raffling off a, how about this, 2017 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited Sport 4x4. Tickets are only $50. That's coming up on the 16th of September, 23rd of September, by the way, Monroe County Brew Fest. That's up at Flat Rock Speedway as well. So back here at the Superstore tomorrow, Thursday at the bookstore on the campus, University of Toledo, talking Rocket football. Then Friday out at Reset in Rossford, great spot as well to watch all of your sports. Another one of those projects from Jeremy Fitzgerald. My name's Mike Miller, and the juggler, Mr. Cushlin, back at the studios. Football, baseball, high school football, college football, 106.5 The Ticket, 98.3 Nash Icon. They're everywhere. What's going on this week, Jim? What stands out?
Well, we got a lot, obviously. Tonight being Tuesday, Bill Clark and the crew for the high school football forum recapping last Friday, getting you ready for this coming Friday. That's at 7 o'clock. Then on Thursday night, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One, because we got all the main NFL matchups. It'll be Texans at the Bengals. That's an 8 o'clock coverage time on 106.5 for Thursday. Friday, track play opens up. Central Catholic against Lima Senior, followed by the high school scoreboard show at 6:30. Then let's see, as I'm looking over here, Bowling Green, 6:30 on Saturday over at Talk Radio 100.7. They're at Northwestern. We start with baseball on Saturday. Dodgers at Washington, 12:30. Then we'll go to Ohio State, 3 o'clock the start time for their game against Army. When that coverage is done, we'll send you out to the Coliseum for USC hosting Texas. So we pretty much have something going on Saturday for basically noon to midnight. And then, of course, the Michigan game, as you mentioned, 11 a.m., the pregame time for that over on 98.3 Nash Icon, our sister station against Air Force. Then coming up on Sunday, a little bit different of a schedule for Sunday since the Lions are the Monday night game for week two. Sunday afternoon, the 1 o'clock game will be Arizona at Indianapolis right here on the ticket. Sunday night game over on Talk Radio 100.7, Green Bay at Atlanta, because we'll also have Sunday night baseball, Dodgers at Washington at 7. So pretty jam-packed with everything going forward.
Jim looking at his grease board over there on the wall. You got to be writing that stuff down.
I need
down.
One of those, too, now that you mentioned it. I got to make too many mistakes and too many corrections all the time.
Unbelievable. Great job, by the way. Hey, we talked to Ohio State. That's Cush back at the studio. We're at the mothership, the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. The summer clearance sales event continues. Come on up and see us. Refurbished showroom looks spectacular, by the way. Again, back with John Borton, thewolverine.com, to talk about the Wolverines and their win over Cincinnati after this timeout.
Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time, ESPN 106.5, the ticket. Home of the Buckeyes, they lost. Home of the Lions, they won. Jim just told you we're the home of a lot of things, by the way. High school football on Fridays, Major League Baseball, NFL football. Another team that won, by the way, on one of our Cumulus cluster stations, 98.3 Nash Icon. 11 o'clock pregame show on Saturday. Tune it in, the University of Michigan taking on Air Force. Joining us now on short notice, and we appreciate it. A little technical glitch kind of screwed up my lineup today, so John Borton was kind enough on short notice. I was going to have John on a Thursday or Friday anyways, but John, appreciate you taking the time. You're a busy man. First year on the air in Lansing. Thanks for joining us here in Toledo.
Well, thanks for calling the audible and bringing me in. It's always good to be with you, Michael.
Yep, very well put. Thank you. It was an audible indeed. I looked like Peyton Manning back there about a half hour ago. What did you take out of Michigan's win over the Cincinnati Bearcats under Luke Fickell?
Well, I think it was a situation where Michigan had put an awful lot of time and effort into their opener this year. As you know, it was with Florida, and people were expecting Florida to be a top 10 team, and they were ranked highly. And so Michigan spent about 8 months really focused on them, got through it, and everybody was telling this team how good it was, and they probably believed it and probably came into the Cincinnati game at not as high a level as it should have, and it really cost them. This offense for Michigan is not up to speed yet. Defense is playing very well, and it needed to, because when that game got to be 17-14 early in the second half, it was like an uh-oh moment for 110,000.
Oh, sorry, a little technical glitch here, too. Thanks again. John Borton joins us here, coming to you from the showroom at Monroe Dodge. Hey, Wilton Spate, 43-yard touchdown pass to Crawford. Michigan leads 7-0. Things rolling along pretty good. And listen, I hate using this term, but there's been talk, too, about Wilton Spate and the Michigan Wolverines. And I buy your theory 100%. I think you see this in all levels. John Borton of athletics, of, you know, getting ready for that Florida game and traveling. I kind of expected a little bit of a letdown. How was Spate against Cincinnati in your eyes?
Well, I think he was good in some ways. I think he certainly didn't throw the interceptions he threw against Florida, but they had some fumble issues. One was clearly Spate's fault, and the other one, Jim Harbaugh said it had coaching fingerprints on it, a fly sweep where Spate and Kakoa Crawford, the sophomore wide receiver, didn't quite get on the same page and fumbled the exchange. But you have to be able to protect the football. I think Spate threw it fairly well, but he seems to still have some issues going on with his delivery and his mechanics. And so he's got some things to work on, but Jim Harbaugh came out this week and said he is our guy regardless. And so I believe him, and I think that he is he's backing his guy, but as he showed in the Florida game, he's not afraid to pull Spate if he's not performing.
You know what, John, every time I look at or think of Air Force, of course they come into Ann Arbor on Saturday, I think of strange formations and all sorts of different types of plays and different looks at Michigan. Does Air Force still play that way, or what else will we see from them?
Oh, I think there's a blend. I mean, Jim Harbaugh talked about that on Monday. He talked about they're a mix of they'll still do the triple option, and they'll do some more conventional things. I expect there'll be some things that are a little bit tricked up for this game because they may not be able to attack this defense in just a traditional fashion. When you look at the triple option, that is assignment football. And Don Brown, he loves to have his team tee off and stop the run and then come after quarterbacks. But there's a lot more to it when you're playing that kind of discipline and assignment football that is required. And they have been working on this for a good long while. I said they put so much into Florida. But certainly anytime you're playing Air Force or somebody that runs those sorts of schemes, you are going to be saving a little bit of that springtime for working against a triple option and knowing what your linebackers have to do and how you're going to defend that. So they did put some time in on that, and I expect to see them come out ready for that, but Air Force will have all kinds of counters, I'm sure.
Again, talking to John Borton here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Any thoughts on, listen, I told you, kind of like that song, Stuck in the Middle with You. We're right in the middle of this Ohio State-Michigan thing and have been for years. Oklahoma comes in, and JT Barrett can't find any receivers downfield, which still astonishes a lot of Buckeye fans. Touch on that game, if you would. I'm sure you saw it. And anything else that came out of the Big Ten this past weekend, John Borton, eWolverine.com here in the Vito's Pizza phone line, that stood out to you?
Well, my biggest take is that Oklahoma is pretty darn good. I fully expected Ohio State to win that game, being that it was down in Columbus, and I really thought that they would handle Oklahoma like they did a year ago down in Norman, but it didn't happen that way. I'm very surprised. You know, we came into this season from Michigan talking about, oh, boy, you're really going to have to – they're going to have to – have a secondary, all new starters that's going to have to come along and get better. And then I look up and see 130th out of 130 teams as far as Ohio State's pass defense, and I think that's – where is that coming from? So I think, obviously, that's a concern. JT Barrett's throwing the football is a concern right now. There's some concerns, I guess, that mirror each other from Ann Arbor to Columbus at this point.
Thinking exactly the same thing. Real quick here, no surprise here. Ohio kind of hung in there against Purdue. Purdue wins at 44-21. Penn State in a interstate rivalry there. Penn State wins at 33-14. Wisconsin against Florida Athletic, not at Florida Atlantic University down there. Every time I think of Florida, I think of my friends down there. Maryland continues to roll on. They beat Townsend 63-17. Duke over Northwestern, and maybe the most brain cells ever in the history of college football on the gridiron. That was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, and as you look around, and if you're Michigan, you understand that the Big Ten is pretty good this year, and some of your games early just got tougher, because I was of the stance that, hey, Michigan gets by Florida and is probably going to go 6-0 into Penn State. And I've got a reality check, not only in that Michigan with a young team struggled in the Cincinnati game, but seeing some of these other games. You mentioned Purdue's second game, but in that opener, I mean, they gave Louisville all they could handle. And Michigan going down to West Lafayette, that's a bigger game. Michigan State has won its game so far. They have to play them at Michigan Stadium, and they have to go to Indiana, which I saw give Ohio State hang right in there for a little more than a half. So I think that the Big Ten will pull some surprises, as always, in terms of upsets, and it's going to be a wild ride. There's no doubt about it. I think somebody said to me the other day, Michigan's got one gimme left, and that is Rutgers. And all those games that you might think of as normally, okay, we'll just put that and check the box there for a win, you can't do that.
Well, Eastern Michigan beat Rutgers not too far from Ann Arbor, 16-13. That was big news. Indiana rolls on. Western Michigan, they lose by a couple. Michigan State, Nebraska, Oregon beats them by 7. Illinois over Western Kentucky, 20-7, and Minnesota over Oregon State. That time of the year, John, thank you for coming on TheWolverine.com. I ask you every time, but listen, you're preaching to the choir here, Michigan fans, right where I'm broadcasting tonight. Contact information, how do you get involved with TheWolverine.com?
Well, you can go to TheWolverine.com any day of the week and check us out in terms of all that we put out there on the website. There's some free stuff. There's some stuff for our members that will get you all the inside information. The magazine comes out once a month, The Wolverine, and you can get a hold of that by calling 800-421-7751. And a lot of people like to do both. They get the daily stuff, and then they get the big monthly breakdowns and analysis and features and all of that.
Good stuff, John. Thanks for coming on short notice. Appreciate it. I had you penciled in the lineup Thursday, as you called it, inaudible. Thanks for coming on today. Appreciate it. We'll chat down the road.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
That's a John Borton, TheWolverine.com. Back to close it out after this.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.